ladies and gentlemen, in your lifetime and in my lifetime, we have gone all the way in the culture from Madonna singing Papa Don't Preach into the churches, and the churches are saying preachers don't preach. The time will come when they will have itching ears, and they will turn their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables, myths. But Paul gives a word concerning apostasy, and with a note of urgency, he says to the young preacher, preach the word. That's what God wants the preacher to do in this day.
In Matthew chapter 10, begin with verse 1, we read, and when Jesus had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these: the first, Simon, who's called Peter, and Andrew his brother; James, the son of Zebedee, and John his brother; Philip and Bartholomew; Thomas and Matthew the publican; James, the son of Alphaeus, and Levius, whose surname was Thaddeus; Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed Jesus. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Now note verse 16. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men. Now turn to the book of Luke, chapter 10. Begin reading with verse 1. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Notice that third verse. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. And then back in Matthew 10, verse 16. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. I want to preach to you today on the subject, how sheep ought to behave in wolf country. How sheep ought to behave in wolf country. I've read two passages from the Word of God of instructions from Jesus himself to the children of God as they went out testifying about him. In the first set of instructions, Jesus was instructing the 12 disciples. And he said, as you go out preaching, the kingdom of heaven's at hand, healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out devils, he said, I want you to behold, to beware of one thing. That is that I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Now, Jesus knew exactly what the disciples would be up against, so he told them to beware of the fact that they would be out in sheep country, or rather as sheep in the middle of wolf country. Then in the 70 that he sent out in Luke chapter 10, he gives similar instructions, making sure, reminding them that they are like lambs in the midst of wolves. Jesus knew exactly what the Christian would have to face in this world, and he knew what they would be up against at every turn in the road, and therefore he said to them, you need to watch how you live, watch how you act. And I want you to notice, first of all, his instruction to them was prefaced by the fact that he said, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolf country. The child of God is called in the scripture over and over. He is likened unto or compared to a sheep. Now, what does it mean when Jesus said that we are like sheep in the midst of wolf country? Well, the sooner you learn as a child of God that you are like a sheep, the better able you'll be to deal with the devil and to handle him as he journeys in this life like a roaring lion. There are some Christians who believe they can handle the devil with both hands tied behind them. They're brave, they're active, they can just handle the devil any way, any shape, any time. But the thing about it is, After a few days or a few months or a few years, they find the devil's done gobbled them up. And the reason was they did not recognize that they are just like little helpless sheep in the world. What is there about sheep that Jesus was calling attention to? Well, the first thing about sheep that the Christian needs to remember is that sheep are the most helpless creatures on the face of the earth. I don't know of anything that's any more helpless than the sheep. The sheep has any number of enemies, and his enemies can destroy the sheep very easily, very rapidly. The enemy will destroy the sheep. He does not have the protection that a dog has. A dog has strong teeth that he can put into the hand of those who would try to hurt him or to harm him. He does not have a protection that the deer has. The deer has sharp feet by which he can make his enemy to wish they had never touched him. He does not have the help that even a little bee has. A little bee does not weigh anything to compare to what a sheep has. But a little bee has a stinger in the end of his tail that'll make a 200-pound man get going down the road whenever he gets in his way. Not only that, the sheep has no protection such as the polecat has. The polecat or the skunk has an inbuilt protection that'll keep a grown human being or a grown animal away from the skunk. But that's not so with the sheep. The sheep is the most helpless animal. He doesn't even bleat when he's brought in to be killed. He cannot recognize when danger is available. And so Jesus said, you better recognize that in yourself, you do not have the strength and the ability to handle the world in which you're passing through. There's another thing about the sheep that makes them an easy prey for the enemy. That is, they are easily frightened. You get sheep frightened, they may stampede and run into each other, or they may pile up against a fence and against some obstructions and smother. They are easily frightened, and Christians are the same way. Unless they follow the instructions of Jesus, the least little leaf shaking will cause a Christian to run and to desert his post of duty. But there's another thing about sheep that you need to keep in mind, and that is sheep like to wander away from the flock. Isaiah 53:6 said, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. What is it about a sheep? They like to graze away further and further and further away from the flock, and before the sheep realizes it, he's away out from the rest of the flock. That leads to the next thing about the sheep that you need to be aware of, and that is a sheep has no sense of direction to bring him home when he gets lost. When that sheep wanders away off from the rest of the sheep, gets outside of the flock, he doesn't know how to get back. He can just get a few feet away from the rest of the flock, and he cannot find his way home. Now, that's not true of other animals. You compare the sheep to a cat. You can take a cat 15, 20, 30 miles away from home, put it out, and that cat will almost beat you back home by the time you get back there, if you've got any distance at all to go or anything to do before you get back. The cat has an inbuilt instrument that helps him to know how to go back to his home. The same thing's true about a pigeon. You can take a pigeon 10,000 miles from home, and that pigeon will find his way back home because he has an inbuilt generator that will take him that way. But the sheep, when he gets out there, he doesn't know his way home. He's lost out there on the hillside. That leads me to say the final thing about sheep. That is, the sheep cannot protect themselves in any way. They are easily killed by wolves, coyotes, dogs, and other kinds of prey. The only protection for the sheep is a good shepherd. And if the sheep does not follow the shepherd, then he's in danger of being killed. And Christian friends, if you and I do not follow our good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, we're in danger anywhere and everywhere we may be going. Jesus knew that. That's why he said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. Why, one day out of seven, did Jesus intend for the little sheep to gather together in the house of God? It's in order that the shepherd himself may give us instructions to know how to go out and live in the middle of wolf country. My friends, you and I cannot stand against the devil. We cannot overpower the devil unless we stay close to the shepherd. And I'm so glad Jesus has ordained it that one day out of seven, Twice a day, we can meet down at his feet. We can meet in the house of God and take his word, open it up, study it, and get the instructions we need for the hours immediately ahead. We don't need the instructions for the next year, but the instructions for the next week. And that's all the instructions we can take. And so the shepherd comes along and says to the sheep, I want you to follow me. I want you to go this way or that way. And when you walk by him and walk with him, you'll find that every step of the journey will be as it ought to be. But I want you to notice the next thing that Jesus said about these sheep. He said they are located in the middle of wolf country. He did not say that he put the sheep out in the middle of sheep country. There are many Christians wonder why they're in the midst of a world that hates and despises them. They'd like to be in the middle of sheep country. But ladies and gentlemen, you'll not be in the middle of sheep country until we land on the other shore and walk down the street of gold in the heavenly Jerusalem. Until that time, we're in an unfriendly world. We're in a world that has wolves on every hand. They are out there to devour and to destroy. And you need to recognize the nature of a wolf in order that you may be able to handle the wolves and be able to deal with the wolves out there in the midst of wolf country. You say, what are you talking about? Well, do you know anything about the nature of wolves? If you know something about wolves, you know that first of all, a wolf is a cunning fella. The wolves hide in the rocks and by the day and leap into the fold of the sheep by night, and they seize their victim by stealth. Jesus told us about that when he said in Matthew 7:15, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. The wolves hide out. They get away. They don't show their true color until they're ready to do their deadly, devilish work. And the sheep doesn't know that, and he's not aware of that if he's not been informed by Jesus. The only sheep that are able to dwell in wolf country are those sheep who've stayed by the shepherd and gotten his instructions and live for him as he wants them to. But that's another thing about that wolf that the sheep need to keep in mind. That is, the wolves are strong in body and teeth. They can kill animals many times bigger than they are. They are so swift and strong on their feet that they're able to carry off a lamb out of the flock at top speed without ever slowing down. Oh, Christian friend, we are in a world that is a despiser of grace, in a world that hates the children of God, and we're in deadly country, and the wolves will do everything they can to harm and devour and destroy. That's another thing about these wolves. They are not only cunning and strong and swift, but they are deadly killers. Between the years 1760 and 1765, one single wolf in a little town in Europe killed 93 people and wounded 30 others. That wasn't a dozen wolves. That was one little wolf. He's a deadly killer. In 1918, in New Mexico, wolves killed over 34,000 cows and 165,000 sheep. Man has been able to get rid of the buffalo, but he's not been able to get rid of the deadly wolf. That wolf out there will still be there and continue to kill when man's passed through his territory, because the wolf knows how to do it and how to get away with it. And ladies and gentlemen, when Jesus said, I put you out yonder in the midst of wolf country, he meant he put you out there where there are deadly killers who'll do everything under the sun to destroy you. You remember, Christian, when you're out there on the job, that you got enemies that like to get rid of you. You remember when you're out there in society, you're around people that would like to destroy Jesus and like to destroy his followers. He wants to get rid of all of them. He's anxious to. But my friend, your protection and my protection when we're out there in the midst of wolf country is to follow close to the Savior, and we'll see the answer. I had a preacher friend not long ago who had an outstanding evangelist coming to his town. He called the officials of the town and asked for permission to put the preacher's picture on the telephone post in town. He got the permission, and he began to advertise and announce the revival. The day before the revival was to begin, the posters were torn down and removed. Why? The wolves didn't want that evangelist in town. They didn't want him preaching, and they did everything they could to stop the revival. Why? Because they're deadly wolves. Christian friend, if you think the world is going to stand by and see you tear up their playhouses, you don't know what the world's like. The world and Christians are in two different camps. We are trying to destroy sin, and sin's trying to destroy Christ. We are not in the same camp at all. But there's another thing about wolves. That is, wolves will run in packs in order to kill. Here's what the wolves do many times. Many times they'll form a semicircle around a lamb or around a victim, and they'll run it over a cliff, and then when the animal falls on the rocks below, they run down there and pick up the pieces. At other times, wolves will make one wolf will go toward an animal's head, another wolf will snap at his heels, and a third wolf will attack his middle. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? The wolves of this world will unite to put you and me out of business. My friend, the world has many people that are opposing each other. Politicians that oppose the educational crowd and educators that oppose the recreation crowd. But let all of that crowd get together, and they will get together to try to stop the children of God. Notice it in the days of Jesus. When Jesus was on the earth, Herod had nothing to do with the religious leaders of his day. The Pharisees had nothing to do with the Sadducees. The Sadducees had nothing to do with the Herodians. But all of them combined together to get rid of Jesus and to kill him. And my friend, I want you to know today, the world has united in the religious realm. They've united in the political realm. They're united in the social realm with one object in mind. And that is to get rid of born-again believers in Jesus Christ. There are certain areas you cannot get a radio program if you don't belong to certain religious organizations in that town. You say, well, preacher, man ought to honor himself enough to belong to those organizations. Well, my friend, there are many organizations that the true believer in Jesus dare not unite himself to. He cannot sleep together with unbelievers and bed down with the ungodly. And if he refuses to do so, they'll cut him off in the midst of his program. I know a preacher friend of mine preaching against the sins and evils of this day, and they stopped him in the middle of his broadcast and cut him off the airways. I want you to know, folks, this world today is out doing everything it can to destroy Christianity. The religious world is as bad as anywhere else. You say, well, preacher, that means we ought to leave religion. No, it just means you ought to get to Jesus. Religion doesn't help Christ. It tears down. What we need is not religion, but religion needs Jesus. And when you get from religion to Jesus, you've got to the source of power and strength. But never forget it. The world out there is a deadly killer, and they'll stop you, and they'll stop at no ends to get rid of you if it's within their power to do so. But there's another thing you need to know about wolves. They don't kill just to satisfy their hunger. They often kill just for the sport of it. You notice in the days of Rome, when the Romans were against the Christians, many times just to make sport, they'd take the Christians down to the arena, throw them into the lions, and watch them and have a big time about it. My friend, the same thing's done about the world today. They take a Christian anywhere, any place, any time they can. They'll throw you out into the wolves. They'll devour you and destroy you. Many Christians aren't aware what the wolves try to do. Sometimes they try to butter you up. Sometimes they try to make you think you're somebody great. But their only purpose is to get you out here where they can put a knife in your back, stop your testimony, and kill you in your relationship to Jesus. Oh, that you and I might see that out in the middle of wolf country, we must fight. We must stand solid. We must take our stand for Jesus Christ. But Jesus said, you better recognize you're a sheep out yonder. When you get to think you're a wolf and can handle the devil, you're on his own ground. You're defeated. You say, well, preacher, you got to fight fire with fire. That won't work in the spiritual realm. If you intend to fight the devil on his own terms, you'll find you'll lose before you get to first base. But if you'll listen to the instructions of Jesus, you'll find that he has thoroughly and completely given you the instructions that is necessary. And when you get through following him, you'll find you'll come out on the other side victorious, and you can stand up in any wolf country. It's not for you and me today to pray, God, take us out of wolf country. That's a wrong kind of prayer. Jesus didn't pray that for us, but he said, Father, I pray that you'll keep them in the midst of that country. I pray that you'll keep them out of the evil. And my friend, there's not a child of God that needs to fall to the devil, that needs to be destroyed by the devil. And you won't be if you'll follow his instructions, stay closely by his side, walk with him in the midst of every struggle, staying close to the shepherd. Are you acting like a sheep in the midst of wolf country today? If not, let me urge you to get close to the shepherd. Walk with him that you may be able to handle the devil under every circumstance that you'll ever be confronted with. Matthew chapter 10, verse 16, Jesus said, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves." On the first side of this album, we look together at what Jesus had to say about Christians being like sheep, and how that as a sheep we're helpless and cannot defend ourselves and protect ourselves. And on the other hand, he tells us that I've sent you forth out yonder in the midst of wolf country. Now, wolves are deadly killers. They'll do everything they can to destroy Christians. And one of the early things for Christians to learn is that the world is not a friend to grace. They're not your friend. They'll do everything they can to destroy you. You say, well, if that's the case, how can anybody expect to be able to live victoriously out there in wolf country? Well, Jesus said there are two instructions that I want you to follow. He said, be therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Now, if you and I as Christians will follow these two instructions of the Lord Jesus, we'll be able to stay alive in any wolf country we shall ever be in. There are many Christians who are already in an early grave who've been gobbled up by the wolves of this world because they did not follow these two instructions of Jesus Christ. Notice his first instruction to the sheep in the midst of wolf country. He said, be ye therefore wise as serpents. Now, a serpent is a snake, and Jesus said for us to be wise as snakes. Now, he did not say for us to act like snakes. There are many people trying to act like a snake in the grass. You can't ever tell where they are because they are changing all the time. But that is not what Jesus meant. But I believe the thing Jesus meant is this. There are six things about snakes in which they are very wise, and any Christian who expects to survive out in wolf country had better act like a snake in these areas. The first thing that I would say the snake is very wise in, and that is in the way he uses his ears. A snake is deaf to the sound carried by the air. The snake pays no attention to what people say about him. You can come up where a snake is and you can start cursing him out. It won't bother him. You can come along and say, Mr. Snake, I'll cut your head off. That doesn't bother him. It doesn't move him. You can come along and say, Mr. Snake, you better get out of the way or you'll wish you never had been around in this part. You'll find that that'll not move the snake one bit. The only thing that moves the snake is when you begin to walk toward his direction, the ground vibrations is picked up by the ears of the snake, and he pays attention to the ground vibrations. Now, that's what you and I as Christians ought to do. We ought to be as wise as the snake in the way we use our ears. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Well, we ought not to pay any attention to the threats of the tongues of people as they threaten us. One day while Jesus was preaching, there were some folks came to him and said, Jesus, you know what Herod said about you? Herod says he's going to kill you. Jesus said, you go tell that fox, I'll do this today, I'll do that tomorrow, and the next day I'll be in Jerusalem. Jesus paid no attention to what Herod had to say. But there are a lot of Christians that are in hot water all the time because they listen to every bit of gossip that's ever said about them. Mrs. Jones, you know, will not speak to Mrs. Smith because she heard that Mrs. Smith had this to say about her. You say, well, preacher, I'm not going to stand for anybody to run me down. Now, I'm not going to stand for anybody to talk about me behind my back. Well, my friend, if you stand out all the time fighting the air, running down every old gossip tale that's been told on you, you'll be finding that one of these days you'll get your head chopped off because the devil will see to it that you keep on running down gossip reports, and after a while, you'll turn into a gossip yourself, and you'll be just like the others. You say, well, preacher, all that gossip can hurt you. No, the thing you better watch is the ground vibrations of people. I've learned long ago, whether it be in the matter of good or the matter of evil, don't listen to what people say. Now, a lot of people say, oh, how I love Jesus. I love him. I'm so concerned about his work. I'm just active for him. I want to do everything I can for him. You won't see them the next service. They didn't love Jesus like they said they did. Man walked up to me one day and said, "Preacher, I could just hear you all day long. It just blesses me to hear you." He wasn't even back at the service that night. I paid no attention to what he had to say. I noticed his ground vibrations. If a man could hear me all day long, surely he could be back at the night service to hear the second message of that day. A lot of folks are talking about, oh, how much they love God, how much they love Jesus, and they're carried away with him. If you love Jesus like you say you are, it's going to show up in the things that you do. Jesus said, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say?" Jesus is looking today for people who will put in shoe leather what they say in their voice. But my friend, you'll stay alive out yonder in Wolf Country if you'll quit running down all the gossip reports and all of the bad things that you've heard said about you. That's like going in and stirring up trouble when there's no need to stir it up. But there's another thing about the snake. And that is, he's very wise in the way he uses his eyes. Even when a snake is asleep, his eyes are always open. At the slightest movement, at the slightest shadow falling across his path, that snake knows what's going on. My friend, the Lord Jesus expects us to keep our eyes open at all times. You say, "Preacher, what's that for?" Our eyes ought to be focused toward heaven, looking for Jesus, waiting anxiously for the day and the hour when he shall come back to rule and reign on this earth again. What does the second coming of Jesus mean to you? When Jesus said, "What I say unto you, I say unto all, watch," he meant for us to be looking, longing, anxiously waiting for that. Will the second coming of Jesus catch you napping, find you asleep? He said in 1 Thessalonians, "Let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober." Keep your eyes open. Jesus could come today. He could come tomorrow. He could come at any time. Keep your eyes open so that when he returns, you won't have to run to the corner to get your apron and start serving the bread of life. You won't have to go and find your gun that you've been using to fight the devil with, but you'll be actively in the battle when he comes again. Keep your eyes open. You need to be wise as a snake in the way you keep your eyes open. But there's another thing about the snake, and that is the way he uses his tongue. A snake is very wise in the use of his tongue. You say, "What are you talking about?" Watch a snake. Notice him. He's got his tongue out all the time. He's just sticking his tongue out. Everywhere you go, you see the snake has his tongue stuck out. Well, what's that for? It's not in order that he might pass on information, but that tongue of the snake has in it an instrument by which he can pick up the smells of the objects that he touches and the area that he's in. He puts that back in the cavity of his mouth, called the Jacobson's organ, which sends that to the brain for an interpretation. He uses his tongue to gather information, not to pass on information. There are Christians today who've been in trouble in Wolf Country for many years because their tongue is continually used to pass on information. Did you hear what Mr. Jones did? Did you hear what Miss Smith did? It's your tongue and my tongue is not to pass on evil reports, but to use it to ask questions, to gather information, that we may be better workers in the family of God. And when you gather your information, send it down to the brain for interpretation. A lot of folks open their mouth when it's not even geared to the brain. We need to keep our brain and our mouth hooked together and make sure you've sent the message to the brain and got the proper interpretation and the proper finding before you begin to speak and use the thing and say what you need to say. But there's a fourth thing about a snake that you need to keep in mind. And that is, the snake is very wise in the matter of giving his location. The reason is, he doesn't give his location. The snake will stay hid in the rock. In order to avert danger, he hides in the rock. Well, you say, "Preacher, what ought you and I to do?" We ought to stay hid with the rock. Hid in the rock. Christ is the rock. We need to stay hid in him. But many Christians get themselves hurt, and they are continually in trouble. Why? Because they're not hid with Christ in God. What are you talking about? My friend, they come up to the devil and say, "Come on, here I am, Mr. Devil. I'm over here. I'm over yonder. Come on, get after me. Do what you will. I want you to know I can handle you." You say, "What are you talking about?" There are some Christians, if you don't give them $100 praise for a 10-cent job, they get their feelings on their shoulder and they head home. You don't see them anymore. Well, my friend, you say, "Well, preachers ought to give us praise for what we do and honor for what we ought to do." Well, my friend, our day of honor,
and your day of praise is out yonder. But let your works be done for Jesus, that Jesus may be glorified and honored. And if you'll stay hid with Christ in God, and a prayer that many people pray for their preachers is a safe prayer. That is, Lord, hide him behind the cross that we may see Jesus and him only. My friend, if the devil's crowd can't see you because you're hid with Christ in God, they can't get to you. But if you carry yourself out in the open with your feelings on your shoulder, some wolf's going to come along and gobble you up before too many days have passed by. But there's another thing about the serpent in the way that he uses his time. The snake is a very good one to watch in the way he uses his time. What are you talking about? A snake doesn't jump at everything that comes in his territory. You watch a snake. Many times he'll wait for hours to let the rabbit or to let the bird or to let the insect get exactly in the right position, and then at a moment's time he jumps in and he takes care and takes charge of the prey. But he can wait for hours. Sometimes he waits for days to get the job done. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? There are some Christians never can get anything done because they jump on their horse and go in four directions at one time. Be like a man trying to farm a cotton patch. And he gets started on row number one. And when he gets about 10 feet down the row, he looks on row number two and sees there's a lot of grass over there. He leaves row number one and gets on row number two. When he gets about 10 feet further down the row, he sees that there's a bunch of grass on row number three. He leaves row number two and gets on number three. He gets a little further down the path, and he sees there's grass on row number four. He jumps on row number four. And when he gets to the end of the field, he hasn't done a good job of anything. Oh, Christian friend, hear me today. If you can't do many things, you do one thing well for God. You say, but preacher, the world's on fire. The devil is leading folks to hell. I got to do everything I can. Yes, but you thoroughly prepare for that Sunday school lesson next Sunday morning. You thoroughly prepare for that message you must preach next Sunday. You thoroughly get ready for that one song that you're going to sing. And do what you do well, and then you can turn to something else. My friend, there are sometimes the best thing you can do is just wait on the Lord. Lamentations 3:25 said, the Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. May God help us to be wise as a snake, to wait for God's time to get the job done that we need to get done. But there's a sixth and the most important thing about the snake, and that is the way he uses an unseen aid. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? A snake has a pit in his head. You know what that pit's for? He takes temperature readings through that pit. He can tell if there's a warm-blooded animal or a cold-blooded animal out there, even when he can't see it. You say, well, preacher, how does that help us as a Christian? Well, the Christian has an unseen helper. His name is the Holy Spirit. He lives inside of you, and many times he'll help you avert trouble if you'll just listen to him. Sometimes Christians go out and buy things they ought not to buy. If they'd listened to that voice inside, they wouldn't have bought it. They'll go out and do things that they ought not to have done. If they'd listened to the voice of the Holy Ghost, they wouldn't have done it. They go places where they oughtn't have gone. If they'd listened to his voice, they'd have stayed out of trouble. My friend, the Holy Spirit of God knows where the wolves are. He knows where the dangers are, and he can keep you out of trouble if you'll just stay with him and walk with him. And then you'll find that when the wolves come around, they can't handle you because the Holy Spirit has already alerted you to what you need to know. But my friend, not only did he tell us that we need to be wise as serpents, but Jesus said if you're to survive in wolf country, you must be harmless as doves. Well, now, what did he mean by that? Well, fact number one about a dove is he is not out to pick a fight with other birds. You let other birds come out there where the dove is, where he's building and where he's nesting. He'll share the nest with them. He'll share the limb with them. He's not out there to pick a fight. He doesn't seek a fight. He doesn't fight with the blackbirds and the redbirds and the brown birds and the bluebirds and the blue jays. He just lives peaceably in his territory, and he doesn't bother about it. What are you talking about? I know some Christians, they can't do much for God because they've done drawn a line. And you better not step across their line. If you do so, you're going to have a fight with them. There are some folks get mad as hornets because they think some church has done invaded their territory. Well, my friend, the world is our parish, and we needn't worry about anybody invading our territory. Let's just do a good job for God, and he'll make the whole world to be our territory. You say, well, preacher, this is my line. Don't you bother me. Christian, this is my line. And many a Christian has been turned down and hurt and harmed by the devil because he would not live peaceably. He's always out picking a fight with somebody else. But there's another thing about a dove. That is, a dove does not live from the good crop raised by others. He doesn't expect somebody else to raise him a good crop. But the dove goes out and picks up that which is leftovers, which the farmer wouldn't use anyway, and produces that which needs to be. He's out there laboring himself to get the job done. I know a lot of Christians today, they're in trouble on one job after another. And the simple fact is, they're just too lazy to hold down a job. What are you talking about? They're not willing to give an honest day's labor for an honest dollar. They believe that the world owes them a living. Therefore, they'll spend half the day in the restroom, and they'll spend the other half of the time out there drinking coffee somewhere else. No wonder they get fired. There's no place in Wolf Country for a lazy Christian. God intends for you to be diligent about the work. We've got a bunch of young people being raised in America today. They feel like if they go out and cut the grass, I mow the lawn, Mom and Daddy's got to give them a quarter, 50 cents, or a dollar for doing that. You say, well, preacher, Mama owes it to me. How come she does? Well, that's a hard job. Well, young lady and young man, if Mom and Daddy owe you for washing dishes and owe you for cutting grass, then you go ahead and pay your room and lodge when you sleep in their bed at night, when you eat at their table. I want you to know the very fact that you're in that home, you're expected to have responsibilities. But we've got a bunch of folks that are not acting like doves today. They're waiting on somebody else to come and to bring the world to them and to feed them off of the good society that somebody else has worked hard to earn. But there's another thing about doves. And that is, a dove is not out to break up other birds' homes. What are you talking about? A dove chooses him a mate for a lifetime and stays with her. You won't find a dove flirting with other birds and trying to go after somebody, the neighbor's wife. Hey, you'll notice in the springtime when the doves are out there playing in the air and they're whistling, their whistles are for their mate, not for somebody else. And when a dove's mates die, that dove stays faithful to that mate the rest of his time by remaining a mourner down here. You say, what are you talking about? There are a lot of people today who've gotten in trouble because they refuse to get one man or one woman and live together as husband and wife the rest of your days. You just remember, the Lord God said it's to be one man and one woman. Till death do you part. You're going to get in trouble when you play the field. Listen, men out there on the job, you treat your secretary like a secretary, not like you treat your wife. You women who have to work on the job, you have only your flirting for one person, and that's your husband. But my friend, many a person has been shot through the head and shot through the heart simply because they were out flirting with somebody else they didn't need to flirt around with. Oh, listen to the words of Jesus when he said to be harmless as a dove. Oh, the scene in the Bible I like to read about Jacob over there sporting with Rebecca. He was courting his wife. The time for you to start courting and kissing and having a good time is after you're married, and stay with that one companion and enjoy her relationship. But I know a lot of Christians who've already made shipwreck and destroyed their testimony because they didn't take this advice of Jesus in the matter of doves. Not only that, but the dove is a person who helps the mate. The male helps the mate, the female, feed the children and rear the children. God expects the man to stand by and stand with and help to rear the children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. But there's another thing about a dove, and that is, a dove is not interested in settling down in wolf real estate. Now, a dove and a pigeon belong to the same family. They are exactly in the same family grouping. And you can take a dove or a pigeon and take him hundreds and thousands of miles away, and when you turn him loose, immediately he heads back home again. For instance, they took a pigeon 7,000 miles away from Saigon, Vietnam, over to Arras, France. 25 days later, that dove was back with his mate in Saigon, Vietnam. When he was turned loose, immediately he headed back to his own home. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? Many times for 6 days, we're stretched out all across the land, all across the community, all across the city and the town. But when the Lord's Day rolls around, if you're a dove, you're going to head back in to God's house together with the other doves to hear what the Father has to say. My friend, if you're a dove, you can just be assured that when you're given a day off, you'll head down to the meeting house of God where God meets with his doves. Have you ever thought why the Spirit said, why God said that Jesus, when he was baptized, the Holy Ghost descended like a dove? Why? When God opened heaven's door, the Holy Spirit immediately went to Jesus. That's where he had been all along. Oh, my friend, where do you hang around on your day off? Where do you go when God's day rolls around? If you hang out in the world's hideouts and in the world's hangouts, you're not a dove. You're some other nature than the dove. Let me say as we draw this thing to a close, that because you act like a harmless as a dove and wise as a serpent, you'll find there's victory continual and completely as a child of God. You say, well, preacher, if I acted like you told me to act, there'd be nobody that'd look after me. There'd be nobody that would be interested in me. Oh, my friend, not so. The dove has laws to protect him. The dove has multitudes of friends. Mr. Crow doesn't have, but the doves do have. They have folks all around. And the dove has been used in war after war to help defeat the enemy on the battlefield. Let me illustrate. Back in the little town, Dutch town of Leiden in 1574, there was a Dutch army was surrounded by a Spanish army. And in this little Dutch town, they had already run out of food and were about to run out of water, and it looked like that they would have to surrender to the enemy. The people in the town talked it over. They said, let's give up. The leader said, let's not give up now. Let's hold on a little while. They said, we'll give you 24 hours to make up your mind. But after 24 hours, if nothing's happened, we're going over into the hands of the enemy. Less than 24 hours later, a pigeon flew over the wall of that town. They picked him up. The people outside of the town where the leaders were gathered gave up a shout. They said, thank God, there's protection. The leaders run out to see what happened. Tied to the leg of that little pigeon was a message from the Dutch admiral out at sea saying, hold on, we'll be there in a little while. And in just a little while, the Dutch Navy was there and protected them. And the whole Spanish army was defeated. And a whole Dutch town was relieved. Why? Because one pigeon stayed true to his mission. Suppose that pigeon had flirted with every bird as he tried to come back to his home that day. Suppose he'd picked a fight with everyone that came along. There'd have been a whole town destroyed. My friend, because Christians are to act like doves, if you and I will go straight to Jesus with our troubles and go continually to be with him in our care and trouble and say, Lord Jesus, help us. We need help. You'll find you'll have victory over the enemy. But if you hang around to flirt with the world or to fight the world or to stand by the world, you'll find out that many will make shipwreck. Oh, my Christian friend, I urge you today to be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. And if you'll do so, you can withstand the devil in any battlefield where you'll ever be placed.